Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindi country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. Aboriginal Corporation Language Revitalisation Project, a powerful reconnection to identity, country and culture. And the launch of Indigenous Language Revitalisation Program has been announced by Aboriginal Corporation in Tasmania, far northwest. And with that, we're going to catch up a yarn with Deadly Sister Rochelle Godwin, Tasmania's Circular Head Aboriginal Corporation Language Project Project Manager. Rochelle online. Rochelle, good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Mangana for having us.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sis, can you let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, please?
We're down here in Northwest Taz, up in Pirapa country.
All right. Beautiful. Big shout out to you, Mob. Thank you very much. Look, congratulations. We're talking about the Corporation Language Revitalisation Project. So tell us about this fantastic project and well, how long has it been running, and tell us about going forward, you could say. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this project's many years in the making. We had many of my elders and community members participate over the many years and have a go at language revitalization. And I guess in the past, 4 years or so, we've really ramped up the research and, you know, started to have some time dedicated to looking into language revitalization more in depth. And that's where I come into the picture. And, you know, we're really starting to gather our resources. You know, we've got no mob here who's speaking language, so we've got no living speakers, and so we're working with transcript material to try and reconnect to the language that was spoken here by the 12 tribes in Northwest.
Fantastic. And look, we always talk and look to our elders. There'd be elders at the table as well with this, Rochelle?
Oh, absolutely. So early in the stages of this project, we established our community language committee, which on there sits some of our elders and community members who are interested in language space. Mm. And they help you really guide the way that this looks. All the words that we revitalise go through them, you know, so they're making sure that, you know, it's culturally relevant, you know, it's sits with policy, who's speaking it, and all of that. So that's all going to go through them, and they're really guiding this, making sure it's Aboriginal-led, community-led the whole way through.
Good. Fantastic. Yeah. And with this happening, and while the progression is happening, is there young people at the table as well regarding passing on? And are we talking
absolutely.
About schools? Is there an opportunity for information, the language, to go into schools?
Absolutely. That's where we're at. I mean, my kids are starting to yarn it here at home as cool. well, and yeah, that's where we'll be based. We have great connections with all of our local schools in the Northwest region, and we're already talking to them about how we can get this into the programs within the schools, and everyone has been so supportive, and, you know, it's actually been quite overwhelming how not just supportive, but eager and hungry our community has been for a language revitalisation program like this, not just our Aboriginal mob, but all people here in Northwest Tassie are so keen and supportive of this program.
Yeah, it looks so fantastic. And how long have you been the Tasmanian Circular Head or Aboriginal Corporation Language Project Manager? How long have you been in that role?
Well, actually, that title's only really been for the last 6 months when we were fortunate enough to get some funding. But yeah, I've been working on this in the background, working communications for the corporation as well. And so I've been working on this in that time for the past 4 years. But yeah, I'm born and bred in this region, so you know, it's I know the family that's been interested in and looking into the space for some time.
Yeah, look, fantastic. And regarding, well, the future looks bright regarding language. Here we are in the 21st century, and we're talking about technology and social media, what have you, powerful tools that can help deliver the language and keep it alive and strong for 60,000 years to come in.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be looking at doing an interactive website, so you know you can go on there and click and explore country essentially through the web and hear these language sounds on there as well. But mostly will be hands-on workshops, working with Mob and in our schools, you know, doing songs, having yarns, out on country, saying some of our Mamana words, and going from there.
Yeah, look, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for sharing. Congratulations. Hats off to you, Mob, down there. Tassie, fantastic. Like I said,
we're
21st century. Excited to be involved. I'm feeling your passion. And my sister, big shout out, especially to your elders and to all the Mob down that way. And let's stay in touch, and all the best, Rochelle.
Mangana, thank you.
Thank you, sis. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. That's Rochelle Godwin, her name is, Tasmania's Circular Head Aboriginal Corporation Language Project Manager. And so we're talking about the Language Revitalisation Project and a powerful connection to identity, country and culture. And Tasmania's Circular Head Aboriginal Corporation announced Ma Mena is the title, and describing the program as the reawakening of the sleeping language once spoken by the 12 tribes of the northwest of Tasmania. Coming to life here in the 21st century. Great to see, keeping our culture alive. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and you can add to the conversation here. We're yarning up strong here on National Talk Black, 1 hour program, live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindindi Country. That's BBM Bumrabib Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black.
No one can predict how this weather really should be. Should we be here? Should we be there? Or whether we come or go, I don't really care. Oh, oh, oh. Not a glad to be seen, then you should know the reason why. La 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 la, ma 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 ma. Oh 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 oh. I hear you on the radio and talk back each day, trying to save the world, but hey, we still gotta pay. The government is still out there telling us what to do, making policies and changing all the rules. Ilale, ilale, ma 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 ma. Like this, the river is life and the weather is straight, and the crooked man hopes the bigger man is you. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. I've never been to Rome and I've never been to Spain. I've never seen the queen, but hey, maybe this explains that an island boy have all the riches. What you see is what you get, that's me. Oh, 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 oh. Save the world, but hey, we still gotta pay. The government is still out there telling us what to do, making policies and changing all the rules. Ilale, 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 ma 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 ma. Understand what I just saying when the land goes like this. The river is life and the weather is straight, and the crooked man hopes the bigger man is you.
I never seen the queen, but hey, maybe this explains that an island boys have all the riches. What you see is what you get, that's me. Oh, 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 oh.
Mark Harbrow, you're tuning in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev on the mic.
1-800-422-416.
Them two fall
Hey, yeah, 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 you suffer something. You suffer dumper. I'm at the bully fly. Fly bully, yeah. She oop shoo, oh, she oop shoo, one time. She oop shoo, one time. She oop shoo, monkey, monkey. For turtle, you stop, yeah. I gonna keep banana boy, you me, yeah. Bossy come and suit them too. Them too bold and belly up, eh. You sabe something, you sabe dump. I'm at the bully, fly, 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 fly. She up, shoo, Okaliga. She up, shoo, Algadi. She up, shoo, ow. She up, shoo, monkey, monkey. Monkey, monkey.
It's a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trevor Murray from Recurry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. The deadly number 1-800-422-416. All right, love letters, a lighthouse, and lost histories. Fellowship recipients revealed. We're talking about the recipients of six fellowships worth $105,000 and two John Oxley Library medals have been announced by State Library of Queensland. Now, Lucy Dima was awarded the $25,000 John Oxley Library Fellowship for her project, Two Stories, One Place, Aboriginal and Settler Memory in North Queensland. The community leader from Cooktown will and reimagine the colonial photographs and documents found within library collections, including diaries, letters and newspapers, through First Nation voices and perspective. How deadly is that? We have Lucy on the line. Lucy, good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sis, let the mob know who your mob, where you from, please.
Yeah, so I'm Lucy. I live up here in Cooktown on Gugimothi Country. I'm a Gugimothi woman myself. I'm a Thiethard. I'm from outside of Hopevale where Aylin Beach is. So yes. That's where my family come from.
Beautiful. Big shout out to your mob and your family. Thank you very much and congratulations. I do ask you, how deadly are you? Look, $25,000, that's a bit of coin there. Thank you. But John Oxley Library Fellowship for your two projects, Two Stories, One Place. So tell us about how this all came about. We are storytellers as black fellas, and you decided to jump into this this framework. So tell us about the project, please, sister.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Everybody is a storyteller. Mm. And the one reason, I guess I applied for this because I spent a lot of time on the State Library website.
Yeah.
I live up in the Cape and I like doing online research and I have been interested in Aboriginal history for a long time. So using whatever resources and especially over time, recently especially, there's been more records getting digitised, so being able to do some research from home and seeing photos from home has been really interesting. And that's where I came across the fellowship. I hadn't seen it before. I'm not an academic or a researcher, so even looking for or deciding to put a project together was, like, completely new to me.
Yes.
My professional background is I'm an accountant. I worked in local government for the last...
Figures.
Pardon? Yes.
Figures, accounting and figures, not storytelling, but, yeah, there it is.
No, exactly right. But I think after, like, just getting around and talking to this, because a lot of my friends, like, you know, I always yarn to people about where they're from, and we all do that as black fellas.
Exactly.
And people just want to tell their story as well. Like, and it's been interesting sharing what I found through the library and telling people. And what I'm hoping to do through this project is doing that with more of, like, a focus on actually trying to get some outcomes out of it. So
yes.
Taking some of the... diaries, newspaper records, information like ration station records, things like that are in the library and in other public places like the Queensland State Archives and even in other little museums around agriculture and pastoralists and stock, you know.
There are stories there connected there, aren't there?
Exactly right. Yeah. And I think that's part of it is to trying to get more people interested in Aboriginal history would be good. I think as a community, it would just make all of us a little bit stronger.
It's a bridge builder, isn't it, Lucy?
Beg your pardon?
It's a bridge builder, you could say.
Yeah, definitely, because we're in this history together, and especially when you look at how Queensland was developed, and it was driven by the discovery of gold. Like, we all know about Palmer River, and we all, at some point at primary school, probably did some work on the explorers and then the gold rush.
Yeah.
But actually connecting that back to our homes, like how Cairns was built, how Cooktown was built, and that's particularly why it's interesting for this project, because Cooktown was the port that, when they found gold in the Palmer River, Cooktown was the port that they established. So Cooktown grew to be a really big town really quickly.
Yes.
And through getting that pathway from Cooktown to Palmer River, all, just about every blackfella had an experience, a negative one, with those settlers that came through.
Yeah, exactly.
And over the years of Cooktown developing and then the gold developing and discovering more areas and the Cape becoming bigger, we extended down to all of our other towns also getting built in this region. I'm talking about sort of North Queensland. Because at the point when they found the gold at Palmer River, they'd really only, I'd have to do my research a little bit, and that's what this program, this is what this project will do.
Yes.
But at that point, they'd really only discovered like the port of Townsville. Cairns hadn't been discovered. Marillion and Innisfail hadn't really been settled yet. So all the blackfellas up here were living, mostly separated from, well, inland fellas anyway, because we're separated from all that settlement. There were a lot of people doing bêche de mer and trochus shell and whatever else happening around the coastline.
Yes.
But that discovery of gold really changed a lot of things. And so my project's going to focus on a couple of events, particularly around with my family. And then hopefully as the project grows, start to develop that into other families wanting to tell their stories and maybe...
Snowball effect.
Them up with... Pardon?
I was just saying, a snowball effect. It could start other stories, other yarns.
Yeah, and it's happening sort of already. When I went to the... so part of the project is putting, like, photos and whatever records I can find in the library in front of community, so doing, like, community sharing and focusing and just doing that first visit when I went down for that presentation of that fellowship. I got to spend a few days in Brisbane, so I sat in the library and just looked through Cooktown, Woodjaw, Hopevale, and some of the stations and some of the little areas that I knew of, and found some old records and videos and things like that that I actually got to look at in person.
Yes.
And found things that weren't digitized. So part of this project will grab those things and actually try to bring them back to the IKCs, which is the Indigenous Knowledge Centres, which are the State Library, Queensland's libraries in our communities, and try to work with them to get some of these things out into the community so we can add a little bit more description and perspective to the records.
So with you doing your research regarding your stories, it then created the space that you saw there's work to be done here in the 21st century regarding this information. So that has forthcoming, hasn't it?
Yeah, big time. And I think with knowing as well my family, so my dad's Aboriginal, and when I ask people after where I'm from, I always say Te Tawara because it's the easiest one. But my mum's Aboriginal too.
Yeah, yeah.
But her history, she's come from where my great-grandmother on my maternal side, she was brought to a station in the early 1900s. And she was put on as a domestic worker, and she lived there right into old age until my granny was able to convince the Protective Aborigines to remove her from the Act so that she could come and become into her care and move into Mareeba.
Yes, yes.
But so that difference of the stations and that kind of the things that happened to people, so even when my nanny, my great-nana, got brought into that station, some of the men that were brought there were taken onto missions and taken to Monomono, Yarrabah, Palm Island, places like that. How do... those records and things relate back because there's a whole gap in information that we don't know. We don't know until we start talking about it.
Well, exactly. Really, like, and we're talking truth-telling here. We're talking truth-telling, and it's not blame, just pointing fingers. It's a jigsaw puzzle. We're putting it together because it's lost. And, Australia's got a history, good or bad, black or white, but the history is the history, and this is history. So, Deadly Sister, you fire me up. I think it's fantastic, and looking at it from your lens, so to speak, it's really opened my eyes to our Deadly listeners out there tuned in. Look, we salute you. Congratulations on your award. The cash will come in handy, $25,000, but the work that you're doing is second to none. And go a mile, see a mile, and I'm picking up your passion. So this could be your calling in life, using these stories and bringing the stories to life, sister.
I'm looking forward to it. I think, too, like, even just the kind of encouragement that I've been getting so far, because it's something that I've been doing with family and friends and talking to people I know, but now that other people and people I don't know are still encouraging, it's been, yeah, it's good. Yeah. And even every time I talk to anybody about it who's from up here, they immediately want to share their story. So I'm looking forward to giving them an avenue and somewhere to put
Exactly. Leading from the front, my sister, about enjoying the journey. I salute you. Take my hat off to you. Big shout out. Your family will be proud of you. And your beautiful ancestors on the other side are working with you closely in spirit, my sister. So, Lucy, thank you, darling. You take care. All the best. And we'll yarn soon, eh?
Yeah, thank you so much for your very kind words as well. Thank you.
You take care, sis. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Lucy DeMel, a John Oxley Library Fellowship recipient, picking up $25,000 as well, and John Oxley Library Fellowship for her project, Two Stories, One Place, Aboriginal and Settler Memory in North Queensland. Community leader from Cooktown is operating from the front and using storytelling as the tool, but we're talking about truth-telling as well. Stories, there it is. Have you say, Yana Armstrong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Yana with the Bawley One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black, and we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yindji country as BBM Bunbury Bip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yana up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black.
During the wet season, conditions can change quickly. Make a plan now to stay safe on country. If you can, stock up on essentials so you can stay home in bad weather. If you need to be on the road, take food, water and medicine and let someone know where you're going. Listen out for warnings and be prepared to wait it out in a safe place. Remember, if it's flooded, forget it. Search flooded, forget it. For more information, authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
Why did you get vaccinated? Vaccinations are the best way to protect us from serious preventable diseases. When you visit the free Wu Chopperin Vaccination Pop-Up Clinic, you will be entered into the monthly draw to win 6 months free fruit and vegetables delivered directly to your door every week. Wow, that's a great reward for protecting your family. One entry for every free vac shot. This Wednesday in Edmonton, no appointment needed. Just walk in between 9 a.m. and 12 noon. Check out Wu Chopperin's Facebook page for more details.
Station sponsor.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
We'll be right back.
Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we've got across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Now, Australian Heart Charities unite to tackle the silent disease behind thousands of deaths each year. We're talking about how simple screening could save lives. This Cholesterol Awareness Week, 24-30 November. High cholesterol is a condition that affects approximately 2.1 million Australians. It's often known as the silent disease, as many people do not experience any symptoms. Look, with that, we're going to catch up here now with Dr. Chris Chikavirappa, Fiona Stanley Hospital, endocrinologist, and have Dr. Chris on the line. Dr. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I'm very good, Trevor. How are you doing?
I'm well. Where are you based?
I'm based in Perth, Trevor.
In Perth. Okay, lovely. Thank you for coming to the program. So we're talking about high cholesterol is a condition that affects approximately $2.1 million people, that is, not dollars. We'd love for that money to come to the table to help us. But look, it's a silent disease, and a lot of work needs to be done in this space, Dr. Chris.
Yes, it is, Trevor. Even though you mentioned about the dollars, it will affect the people even more than that, actually. Mm. So this Cholesterol Awareness Week is such an important event, and I'm happy to be a part of it and supporting that through your program.
And like I said, it's a condition that affects approximately 2.1 million Australians. It's often known as silent disease. As many people do not experience any symptoms. Can you explain that, what that means?
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. High cholesterol in patients doesn't cause often any symptoms. Mm. It's as you mentioned, it's a very silent disease.
Yes.
So it basically causes what we call in medical terms ASCVD, atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, which simply means that there is a deposition of a fat in the blood vessels, causing less blood supply, hence damage to the organs such as heart, brain, causing heart attack or stroke, etc.
Yes.
So, and that causes a lot of significant morbidity and mortality. That means damage to these organs. And the importance of ASCVD, atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, is that 80% of cardiovascular deaths are associated with this condition. And in Australia, in the year 2022 alone, a quarter of all deaths are due to ASCVD.
Is that right?
If I put it in other terms,
yes.
In 2023 alone, Australians have lost an estimated of 666,000 years of healthy life due to cardiovascular disease.
Mm.
So this is such an important subject for audience to know and able to be aware of this condition so that they can take appropriate steps to better their health, Trevor.
Yes. Is this hereditary, doctor?
It could be hereditary, Trevor, but most of the times it is due to lifestyle risk factors, and sometimes it can be a hereditary, and which is a very important step to identify in patients who normally have, if it is a hereditary, Trevor, normally these patients would have there is a family history of what we call as a premature cardiovascular disease.
Mm.
What it really means is that if a person has a male relative with cardiovascular disease, that is either if they had a heart attack or a stroke in a male-related person less than 55 years of age, or if it's a female less than 60 years of age, then they're more likely that they would have had genetic cause for high cholesterol. So it's quite important for those patients with a history, family history of this issue, to go to their GP, get their blood checked, and get it all sorted. One of the important factors is if we come to know that the person has a genetic cause of this high cholesterol, then it is really easy to treat early on, because the evidence shows that the earlier we start the treatment, better the prognosis is. So it is quite important to educate those people who have a possibility of a genetic disease to go to their GP, get it tested,
check up,
start the treatment early.
Doctor, it doesn't discriminate regarding age, men or women, or old or young?
Yes, it can affect anyone.
Anybody, that's right. Yeah.
So basically, as we get older, our cholesterol tends to rise.
Mm.
And it can affect male or female. There are a lot of risk factors for this condition. Generally, unhealthy diet can be an issue. Lack of physical activity can be an issue. Smoking is a very important factor, because smoking lowers the good cholesterol. And someone who smokes have got high level of bad cholesterol, and therefore there is a high risk for ASCVD. And the overweight and obesity is a big issue in Australia. Those patients who have a higher weight, they have a higher cholesterol levels as well, which is a kind of a bad cholesterol.
Mm.
So it's quite important to understand these risk factors. And as you mentioned, it can affect male and female equally.
Yep.
And, you know, it can affect the various populations.
And we're talking cholesterol, which is virtually fat around the heart.
Fat inside the blood vessels.
Inside the blood vessels, yes.
Yeah, so it can affect any part of blood vessel. And, you know, if it affects the blood vessels supplying blood to the heart, it's called, you know, if it becomes too much of a accumulation of fat in that vessel, you have decreased blood supply going to the heart. Therefore, you are at a high risk of developing a heart attack. Similar thing if it happens to blood vessels which supplies blood to the brain. Similarly, you can have a blockage in the blood supply. Therefore, there is a decreased supply of oxygenated blood to these organs, and they can have a serious damage.
So we're talking about prevention here. We, the individual, doing our bit regarding good diets and exercise. And, of course, and cut down on the smoking and the drinking, you could say.
Absolutely. You're spot on, Trevor. Most important thing is awareness and then lifestyle changes. And another important thing which we're not talked about yet is, you know, checking the cholesterol. Checking the cholesterol level of a person will actually determine the risk very early on. As I mentioned before, the earlier we know about the high cholesterol issue, the sooner we treat these patients, the risk can be reduced significantly. So healthy diet, regular exercise, quit smoking, and limit alcohol, and go and check your blood cholesterol through your GP. So those are some of the things which I say we can able to take some steps to reduce the risk and also be aware of your cholesterol levels.
Level, the intake, yep. So here we are, 24, 30 November, Cholesterol Awareness Week, and the fact that we're talking about it here on a national program, the word is out there, and we're talking about it, so which is great. So take on board to what we're talking about, and do your checkup, and look after you. But thank you very much, Dr. Keish.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Pleased to have you here, and thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to... spread the awareness.
Lovely. Thank you very much. You have a great day. All the best, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
You too, my friend.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Dr. Trish Chikavirupa is his name. Fiona Stanley Hospital, endocrinologist. And we're talking about the Australian Heart Charities Unite to tackle the silent disease behind thousands of deaths each year. So, look, high cholesterol is the enemy, you could say, and Cholesterol Awareness Week is happening right now, 24, 30 November. So when you go do your checkups, yeah, check for cholesterol, slow down in the fatty foods, keep exercise strong, and slow down in the drinking and smoking. So there it is. It's about longevity. Live your life and look, do it for your children, if not your children, grandchildren. That's what it's all about. Have your say, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Up in the sky, so far away, there is a place for everyone. Moon and the stars, they always shine out on that ocean way. And as the lazy wave rolled by, breezes blowing, memories, oh yes, yes. Somewhere there's joy, somewhere there's sorrow. Out on the sea, it's always the same to me. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild Wangai tree grows? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including St. Paul Bay? Any place and just around by Mabio Bay? Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild Wong Eye Tree go? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place, including Central Way? Any place and just around by Mario Bay? Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Takabanji, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
When the Saravan sails away, I'll be thinking of you every night and every day, dear. In my memory, though it's only just a short trip that we are to do, even out on the reefs, dear, I'll be thinking of you. And when the troca season's over and our sails are full of wind, then the Saravan will sail, dear, safely back again to you. And I hope you will be waiting just the way you always do, for us Trocas boys are ready to be welcome home again. After spending time with family, must all say goodbye, for the Saravan must sail, dear, back again out to the reef. While they're out on the reef, dear, I'll be thinking of you. When our yearly work is over, then we'll sail back home to you.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Oh yeah. about the siege of